Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another podcast. I almost forgot the name of our podcast for a second. After Class Podcast. It is indeed after class. Very, very after class, seeing as we did not have class today.
It's like,
well, we still
really
had class. It just wasn't an official class.
You're right.
It was just
we had a little training, a little training session. Yeah. Anyways, we are back. If this is the third pat.
the what?
Oh, God.
Did you say fur pat?
Yeah. Okay. Let's try it.
And we're back.
Real listen. If this is the first time, not fur patch, I don't know how those two things got confused.
Stop saying fur patch.
If this is the first time that you're watching us, then we should probably do some introductions.
We apologize at this point in time.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm Kale. This is Jamie. It's our podcast that we do on a regular basis, but we have decided to bring these two wing nuts in with us this week for another episode. To my right is Steve Walsh, and across the there is Angela McCray. And they are very good friends, but we also happen to be the coaches of the McCann Dogs Agility program. Oh, my lordy. Okay. We're excited for this topic because our beautiful friend Ange across the couch there, she just got back from Europe, from Denmark, and she competed at the European Open with her border collie, Eugene, and it was her very first time competing, and we just can't wait. We cannot wait
itching
to hear how her experience went. We did hear a few of the tea things, like behind the CT things that cannot be disclosed on the podcast, but we didn't hear all the stuff. We were saving it just for you guys to hear because we thought it would be kind of fun. The three of us have been.
Well, now.
The three of us have been overseas and experienced it in various trials and stuff, and it opens a whole new world, and we're just excited to hear a little bit about it. So anyways, Ange.
Kale.
Yeah. Oh God.
It was quite elated.
I know.
It was long.
I know. It was really long.
I'm ready. I'm feeling
2 minutes and 42 seconds. Actually.
I'm feeling some pressure to answer these questions.
No, that's okay.
Appropriately.
Rate it. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Whoa, oh, like right out of the gate, that's your question?
Absolutely. The event
like just
itself.
Bam, just like that.
Yeah.
9 out of 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
So wow, you'll be that's back. Higher than I thought.
All yeah. Right, do you want details on the rating?
Yeah.
Or just looking
no,
for...
just leave it at a 9 to 10 and we'll just end the podcast there.
Done. And now we're done.
Great. Well, I'll see you next
okay,
week.
Okay, so -1 out of 10 on the weather.
Oh, yeah.
The weather wasn't great. It was rainy.
And it rained outside
mostly every day. And it was windy and it was cold.
Windy.
But the venue itself was very nice. It was soccer fields, but they were really well kept and they really stood up well considering all of the rain.
Considering all the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Water.
Water.
And it was really well run. The Denmark people were great, and they did a great job of organizing it. It was really fun being on Team Canada. That was super cool.
Highlight. Mm-hmm.
And it was just great to see agility of that caliber and so much, like so many good runs. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, 9 out of 10.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She's going back.
Yeah. Yeah. I did ask her if she wanted to go back to that event. She didn't hesitate. She
no hesitation.
Gave me a yes right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really cool. I think we've all experienced going mm-hmm. over and yep. seeing a bunch of different people.
Jamie's got another question. Oh. She was
ready to go.
She's couch tapping.
She got both questions ready to go and she's just wanna throw it out there.
Okay. I can pass.
No, I wanna hear it now.
No, put it out
maybe
there.
It's not in the right order though.
It's, I don't think,
I think you're ready.
Just
though.
Say would your you, freaking question. You,
it's out of order. Okay. This whole podcast is out of order.
It kind of is. Would you do anything different next time going to Europe?
Ooh. Yes, there's a few things I would take that I didn't take, and there's a few things I wouldn't take that I took.
Oh,
so you kind of overpacked and underpacked.
Correct.
Oh.
Yes.
You absolutely. Didn't pack enough rain gear.
No, I was good on the rain gear, okay. But I packed like clothes to like go out.
Oh, I did that when yeah. I went to Netherlands and I was like,
we never went out anywhere. Like
where were you going to go?
We sightsaw.
You went sightseeing.
Quite a bit.
But I just wore my fur patch.
stop saying Furbeck. But I just wore like agility clothes when we went sightseeing. Yeah.
Yes.
And then I would have taken a thermos, and I didn't.
Oh, and that's pretty specific.
What do you mean a thermos? Actually?
Like for my like tea, soup? For my tea in the morning.
Oh, that was on my list, you dink knob.
What?
And I would have taken tea bags, and I didn't.
Oh, your packing list. I'm like,
yes,
your list of questions had to do with a thermos?
No. Yeah. I sent her, I have like a really psycho packing list. And
I know, you sent it to me too.
Okay. So thermos, and I didn't take a backpack. It was the last... Yeah, don't look at me like that. It was a last minute.
Oh. Trying to weigh down your suitcase?
Yes.
Yeah. You can't go sightseeing without a backpack.
No. Yeah, it's very true.
You need to pack things on your back.
But differently, I stayed on my own.
Did you like that?
I did. I think I could stay with one other person, but I think definitely.
Don't you think it depends on who the person is?
That's what I was going to say.
It depends on who the person is. And I think, too, that sleep is important and being. In an environment where you feel comfortable saying, I'm going to bed. I think I would always want to stay somewhere where you had your own room, but I also think quieter is better for me, especially after a long day of trialing. Mm-hmm. I would, even though we didn't trial that
much. Yeah, but
much,
you're constantly on. You're
trialing there all day. Every day you have to trial.
So I would maybe stay with one other person for cross, but I think that absolutely staying on my own was a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like staying on my own for myself, but also for my dog as well. Because then I don't feel like I need to like, keep her in my room.
Worry about them
manager,
getting along.
Worry about and them I'm, getting into things.
Might change the way I came back differently. Like, so we were there all day Sunday for finals. Mm-hmm. And then Monday we had to drive like 12 hours. And then I got on a plane first thing Tuesday morning. And I am still
recovering.
So I think maybe taking a little bit longer to get back might have been a better
option. I think it depends on where it would be though. Because like, depending on where you had a big long drive to get a nonstop flight from one place to another. Like if it was, you know, let's say near a hub that you could get a nonstop flight, it probably wouldn't have been as much, but that's a big drive to do and then get at on the plane. End. And like that's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. But little things, nothing.
Did you feel like you had enough time to prep?
She got all the questions as well.
She's questioning, like she's a question hog over here.
I'm just kidding. I love it. You have good questions, Jamie.
Beforehand, like to settle yourself and the dog or was it too much time? Because sometimes I've gone over and I felt like, this is too, like, I'm waiting. Yeah. I just want it to be here now.
Yeah, so I got there on the Thursday, and we did sightseeing Thursday and Friday. Drove 5 hours Saturday, then drove 5 hours Sunday. And then I went to the Denmark Open beforehand because it was at the same venue. So I went and just watched little bit, which I like that. That was good to kind of get my bearings of where it all was. And then team practice was Tuesday, and then on-site stuff started on Thursday. So I actually thought it was like... Probably longer would have been too long, but I thought it was a good amount of time. My dog took a little bit to get settled. He didn't feel good the first night. So I thought it was a good amount of time to settle in and adjust. And I'd never been to Europe, so I wanted to see a bit too.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
So Jamie, more questions?
Yeah, Jane. I could have another one. But you guys go ahead.
You know, when you feel the need, you just pipe up.
Just blurt it out. Okay. Just vomit it up whenever you're
ready. I was curious to see your thoughts on I was curious to hear your thoughts on like the biggest thing that you noticed when you were over there at the competition, like watching the other people compete in comparison to what you see here. Like, is there like a couple things that stood out where you were like, whoa, like this is not
what we do,
what happens at home. Like this is the biggest difference.
So across the board, I don't know if it's just EO because I just went to EO. They run balls to the wall. Mm-hmm. They run like their hair is on fire. Like, and I'm not saying that there aren't some people that do that here, but like they're either going to run clean and rock it or they're going to E.
Right.
Like they run unbelievably strong.
Bold.
Yeah. Bold.
Yeah. That's
great, confident.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I had you guys might have been part of this conversation as well. We were talking with Jaakko Swiknudi from Finland. We were talking about like the idea of people saying like, oh, I'm going to run and like be brave or whatever. And he brought up a good point to say like, no, don't run like you're brave. That sounds like you're like chancing something. You need to run like being bold and being brave are very different. Like when you run boldly, it's like, I'm going to lay everything out on the line. I trust my dog. I trust myself. And I'm just going to give her. I'm not going to suddenly like try to do this like crazy move over here because I'm trying to be brave. If you don't think that's going to happen, then don't do that. That's stupid. Don't run stupid. Run bold and be okay with whatever the result is. And I think that's sort of what I noticed when I would go over is that if you didn't run like that, you were going to be left behind. If mm-hmm. you run tentatively, if you run like you're trying to get a clear round, maybe you'll get a clear round, but you're going to be 57th. You're yeah. going to be 121st. You're going to be 300th because there's so many really good dogs. You really have to learn to let go a little bit and just be bold. Don't be brave.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think that my take home from that is that I need to try and run like that more consistently at mm-hmm. home. I think I run like that a lot in class.
Yeah.
I think I mm-hmm. run very yeah. strongly in
you
class.
You do.
But it doesn't always cross over to running in a competition, depending on how I'm feeling about the course or yeah. whatever. And I think I want to start to do that because then I think it's like everything. The more you practice running like that in those situations, the more it's easy to then take it to Europe and run the same.
Yeah.
So I would say that's the number one. There's other things like, the teeters are very fast, but a bit different than ours. Like yeah. the dogs, the teeter comes down and the dogs go. So that's just a difference that I noticed. And a lot of verbal tunnel turns out of tunnels.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
That we don't currently do. So rights and lefts out of tunnels, I would say 80% of people had them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
from what I observed. And you felt that was an advantage?
I don't know if I thought it was an advantage okay. per se. I just thought it was just an observation that I was like, oh, that's interesting that people do that.
Yeah, and for the teeter, did you think that the teeters were an advantage of how they did it in comparison to how we do it?
I don't know about that, but they are fast and. You better be on because they're going when they hit right. the bottom. So I just noticed that like, wow, like you must be prepared for the dog to release because they're releasing.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas we have a bit more control over the
Was there
the
a lot
of
fly offs though at all? That?
There were some, but I wouldn't say any more than we see here.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. I had another question. I forget.
Jamie's got seven more ready to go.
What's your question there, smart ass?
Oh, wow. That's usually saved for later, but okay. my thing was, first question was...
You know, if you put your head back, you can move the mic to you.
Yes, I know that.
Okay.
He likes that.
I was just sitting up.
He likes to go like this.
Well, I'm just trying to get myself
sorry,
set.
Just ask your question. I'm sorry.
Any other instructions?
Let him... No, I'm going to wait and interrupt you when you start talking again.
It's okay. I'm used to it. Every day. I'm used to it. My question was...
just kidding.
It's gone.
No, I was just seeing if it would make you mess up. Was the level of skill and talent what you thought it was? Because that was my biggest thing was that I went, wow, everybody is really good. And I sort of liken it to like, you know, hockey, really good hockey to like NHL mm-hmm. hockey. Like mm-hmm. there's that next step yep. that everybody has.
Yeah, I can't speak to hockey, but.
No, but like you can speak to agility for sure.
I think I was expecting them to be as good as they were, but I don't know that I was expecting them across the board.
The numbers. Yeah. All of them to be that good.
Like they're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I was a big take home for me was that the dogs, I like to think my dog is fast. He's not a great turner. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, but he's fast. These dogs were every bit as fast as my dog, maybe faster. And those things fucking just shut right down, whipped over that jump, and then came back full tilt the opposite direction. Like, they are badass fast, and they turn on a dime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's remarkable.
Yeah. What do you think, like, because you and I had a conversation about this before, because we were talking about, like, training our puppies and how, even with B and Jean, that we want to focus on making sure that, like, our turns are really good. Do you think, like, that... They train that way because of the style of courses they run versus the style of courses that we run. Because I would say that on our courses, we don't get a lot of negative repercussion for our dogs not turning tight sometimes because of the style of courses that we have in our country, depending on what venue you do, of course. But also we don't have like the degree, like the numbers of people. So like, yeah, you might go fast and you might have like three wide turns, but you still, if you're relatively good, will be in the top 10 or the top five or whatever it might be, because our country's itty bitty. When you go over there, like, I know.
I think they're forced. They're forced to have dogs that run that fast and turn that good.
Yeah.
And I think they're nitpicky. And then the other thing that is so fascinating is that the effort they appear to be putting in the moment on course to make the dog turn like that is just like a little dip of the hand. And the dog just whips around. And I'm like, I would have to like be waving all the things to get half the turn.
Right. Yes.
It's remarkable. Like the dogs are incredibly well trained, or they're just lucky.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question to that then is that something with the dogs that they have? Is it something to do with the dogs that they're breeding, or is it something that they're focusing on so much in training? No, that's my question. But like, I don't know. Does that make a difference?
It could be a little bit of both.
I absolutely think it could be, but like, why is it, you know, we see dogs
I would
that
say
maybe
it's
move
probably
fast.
More the training than it is the breeding, because we have, I think that we have a lot of like sport.
What was that?
She's playing a drum over there.
Hold on. Okay.
We have a lot of like sport bred dogs here that are super athletic and super fast and explosive. And I think that they can turn well if they were trained to do it. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't think that European dogs are any better than Canadian dogs. I don't think that that's the case. I think that the training's a little bit different, and I think that they have an opportunity to run those styles of courses that we're going over there to do more often than we are.
Yeah.
And so although we put in a lot of effort over here in terms of our training and we work hard, like in our classes, we're not prepping for AAC trials. Like in our classes anyways, what we coach and what we teach, we're prepping for international all of the time. And that's, I would say that's why our dogs are pretty good. You know, our dogs are very competitive dogs all over the world for sure. But I would say for me, my opinion is more that it's probably the training and the culture and kind of what they're used to. And you either got to step up or you're not going to do it. So you,
and they can trial like every weekend. We can trial once a month.
Good trials, good safe trials, good, you know, places with good equipment and good courses.
Yeah,
and
we
all
don't
that
really
kind of
we
stuff.
Can't really compete that much anymore, can we?
We can't.
Even if we wanted to.
No, that's a challenge over here anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your question, Kel?
Oh. Well, I asked the question about like what was the biggest thing that you noticed. Mm.
There were no stop dog walks. Well, I shouldn't say no. Very, very few. And I wouldn't say that that's really a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's certainly been the trend over here that it's going that way, but certainly it reinforced it there. Like, I mean, I didn't watch every run, but I watched a good number of runs and I maybe saw one or two stop dog walks all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, this is my second question.
Okay, question number two. Jamie's got four more still.
Do you feel that you were prepared to go? Did you feel that when you got there that you felt prepared? And I mean that training wise, mental state wise.
Mentally,
that sort of
thing. I was good.
I felt pretty good.
I talked
mentally to you almost every day while you were away, which was awesome. And I kept saying to you, like, Andrew's in such a good place. Like, you were great.
I wouldn't say
I was
like
very impressed.
Going, I think I knew where I stood. Like, I have a dog that's fast, that has some good skills. Sometimes I'm not in the right place at the right time, and that's just how it goes still. And if I could put it all together, I think that he would have been reasonably competitive. I had two runs where I didn't E, and it's pretty good for us. And I was happy with that and how we did. The first one was a bit messy, but I actually quite liked the second run. And then on the second day, I eed both days. The first run was not good, but the second run I had good bits in, and I feel okay with that. I feel like going, I knew my dog could turn tighter. It's not like I went there and I was like, oh, wow, my dog doesn't turn tight.
Yeah.
I knew going in that that's a challenge. I've just recently, as you all know, retrained a dog walk to be a running dog walk. So I was, that was a bit of a crapshoot how that would turn out. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I put the time in, like I certainly couldn't have put more time in between when I found out when I was, that I was going mm-hmm. and the event. I trained a lot.
Yep.
Coming home now, like I want to get better.
Yeah.
With that dog and with my young dog. But I do think there's room for improvement with Gene. And I think we could get better and have a better showing next time
mm-hmm.
if we made the team.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's a good place to go to an event like that and feel like obviously you have no control over what happens. Nobody does. It doesn't matter how good or how experienced you are. Like that's the thing with this sport is literally anything could happen at any time. But it is nice to go to those events and be like, okay, you get the course map and you're like, there's nothing on here that I've never seen before. I don't know if it's going to go well, but I don't look at this course map and feel intimidated or feel scared or feel whatever. Like I think, and I felt like in our conversations, I feel like you did feel that way.
There
were
challenges for sure.
Yeah.
But I didn't, there was nothing that I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go in the ring because like this, like I have no idea what I'm going to do. I think the experience is exactly what I thought it would be. I had moments where I was like, oh, I'm proud of us and this was good. But I also had moments where I was like, whoa, this is an experience and these are things that I have to work on. And that's kind of how I felt going. I thought this would be a great experience and probably something that I would want to repeat doing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. That's great. It's really good.
Okay.
It was like dead air there.
My second question. Okay. I was waiting for Jamie to jump in, but she didn't. So.
Well, Kel took my question.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Oh, wow. Like same question.
Yeah.
Like that's why we're peeing the pod.
Yeah. I was going to ask that question because I really wanted to know what you thought that got you there, like what you prepared the most to get there.
I worked a lot on running dog walks. Yeah.
And that's a big thing because you did some trialing, but going to Europe and I don't know whether or not was it multiple rings at a time?
Four rings at a time.
And that's a whole nother experience, especially with a high-minded dog. So, you know, I don't know how old his dog walk was, running dog was at that point, but I don't think it was
8 months. Maybe?
Yeah.
Nine months?
That long? I thought it was even. Yeah. But going to an event like that with only having an 8 month long dog running dog walk.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Well, she only had a running dog walk for about a month and a half.
That's what I thought.
But it took her 8 months to get there.
Yeah.
And she still doesn't have any turns after the dog walk.
I don't either.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there. It's on the
turning,
list.
Turning's overrated anyway. It's
fun. And her dog walks were freaking sick.
Yeah.
Did he get every single one?
He got every
and
dog
like,
walk.
Yeah. And like I think that perfectly. That is a huge takeaway because that's
for
a,
sure.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it was good. And they were to like, things I'd never done after the dog walk. Like a zip.
I think I said that will just happen.
Yeah. So I worked a lot on the dog walk. I did a bunch of turning stuff because I always knew that.
And
I knew that was a thing. And then I just tried to really run hard in classes. Like, I kind of
to get your mindset.
Was focused like the last month or so. Like, it's not that I like to be social, and I was social, but I was pretty focused in class because I wanted to be like running like that.
And what are you going to work on more now that you've done the EO experience?
I'm just waiting. I'm still waiting.
For sure the turns, but like I want to like net and like I want to not just focus on him turning well. I want to ensure that every turn is good and keep continuing to reinforce that. Dog walks more. And just running and sending and going. Because as much as I think my dog has good independent skills, and he does, I think I still babysit them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like, I'm going to run, I'm going to tell him get back, and I'm going to go. And if he doesn't get back, then we'll fix that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, I need to be connected, but I do think I have a moment's hesitation. Mm-hmm. And they do not over there.
They send them
and they just go.
Yeah, I think that goes back to what we're saying about, like, run boldly.
Yeah.
Like, you need to run assuming that your dog's going to do exactly what you trained them to do. And you need to move on to the next thing instead of running and, like, kind of making sure.
Did it happen?
Running and kind of making sure because you just don't have time to do that if you expect to, like, knock down all the milliseconds in all of the places around the course. Like, you have to run very trusting.
But you have to do that at home first, and then you have to do it at the local trials, and that, you know what I mean? Like, and then at tryouts, like, I think it's a step process, right? Like, I think I do that in class. I don't think I babysit much, but
no, you write very well in class.
I do babysit at a trial because I'm not sure. But why am I not sure?
Yeah, but I think sometimes, like, a lot of the trialing that we do anyways, we're trialing because we're working towards something. We're trying to get that freaking cue with a damn bias towards this team and that team. So I do think that sometimes we need to give ourselves a break because sometimes we're, like, just trying to get the things that we need so that we can go to tryouts or whatever we need. So I think there are different ways to run a course. Sometimes you have to be able to run a bit more conservatively. Sometimes you have to run a little bit more balls to the walls. But I think you have to get to a certain point in your teamwork with your dog where you can switch your running mode. And that's not easy to do. And not every dog, like, and I'm learning that. I'm learning that with B is I thought that I could, like, kind of go in and run her, like, a little bit more conservatively if I was, like, just trying to get the cue. And I learned at tryouts, like EOAWC tryouts, that when I run like that, I do not go clean because I can't keep her under my thumb because I'm just a little bit too
cautious.
Cautious. Yeah. I was going to say relaxed, but cautious is the better word for sure. Yeah. And then it's just not right. But when I go in and I'm running, like, really aggressively and I feel more pressure or whatever, those are my best runs.
Yeah, because you're not giving her the moment to anticipate what's going to happen.
And I think that's a similarity between our two dogs, is especially when they compete, they're quite high.
Yes.
And if you let them think that they're in control, it's not a good thing.
It is not. It is a bad thing. And it's a very fast thing.
And they say bye-bye.
Happens like that. And they go on to the
thing. Bye-bye. See you at the finish line.
That's an interesting place to get to be able to have that kind of still be connected without being over-connected and creating issues. Right. Like that's a hard thing to get to.
Yeah, I think sometimes people, in an effort to be, like, super connected with their dog, they end up being, like, a bit of a babysitter and a micromanager.
Yeah, managing.
And then then you're not.
Then it's just not effective. Then the dog just starts going, well, let me just do my job. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a hard thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it takes time to, like, run free like that.
Run free.
I want to run free.
I want to run free.
I want to run free.
Oh, we're back to the Queen song. Okay.
We had a whole sing song before we turned the record button on.
You'll thank us really, later.
Yeah, that sounded like a bag of cats heading for the water, but anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Okay, my question.
Okay.
Oh. I think that this is more than one question you've had, though.
Okay.
If we're counting questions.
Questioning tent. Almost 20 questions over there.
Oh. I know. I've been giggling because every time she moves her top knot,
her hair.
The plant goes with it.
The plant goes flying, yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to things like pressure, getting to the line over there, what was your thought of the pressure? Because there's this big debate about, and this whole feeling about, oh my gosh, the pressure of being in a world event. It's a huge thing.
It wasn't really like that.
My realization, I think, was very similar to yours. So how was it?
Yeah, it wasn't like that. So first of all, the intermediate team that I was on, they were all great. So we were often quite, like, so on team day, we ran back to back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Yep, like that.
Okay.
And
like all backs.
Yep. Okay. And then on the individual day, we were close and we just helped each other. It was great. It didn't really feel... I don't know if it's because there were multiple rings going on, and really the only people that really care about your run are the other Canadians. You know what I mean? Like, so it didn't really feel any more, I mean, maybe it should have, but it didn't really feel any more pressure here. What was funny is one of my teammates who was a first time as well, her major concern was we had these lanyards that we had to
pass off.
Turn in.
Yeah. Oh, like at the contraband bins.
No, to
at the gate.
At the gate. It was like our
like you're getting
pinny or whatever, right? Yeah. And so she was so concerned. Like, she was more concerned about, where am I going to hand this damn lanyard off to? Like, what do I do with this lanyard? Like, so she wasn't even worried about getting in the ring because all she could think about was the lanyard. And all I was thinking about was, like, oh God, like, are they just going to grab my dog and start trying to look for the microchip afterwards? And, like, it's under his neck. It's not on the back of his neck. So, like, are they going to find it? Is he going to be high and, like, looking for his toy? So it's kind of funny when you're, like, brand new and you
don't know what to expect.
You don't know exactly what they're going to do. Right. So what you're distracted by.
Right.
So anyway, obviously after the first run, we figured out what happens with the lanyards and what happens with the, with the microchip, and it's not really that big of a deal. And we went on from there. But no, it wasn't. I wasn't really. I mean, you're you have that energy that you want to
There's
do
well. There's an excited
well,
energy.
But I wasn't like, it wasn't.
It's kind of funny. It's really. A no pressure thing, isn't it? Like I felt there was no pressure. Because you're there.
Yeah.
Like, you're already there. Just have fun.
It's
a weird, I found it a weird mindset shift because, like, I literally felt, and I think I messaged you because, you know, we were talking about it. And I'm like, well, I don't have any place. Like, I'm not trying to get to anything else. Like, this is it.
That's the end of the road.
I felt pressure, but I've also not felt pressure.
Interesting.
I change from run to run.
Sometimes in the team events, if your team's going
well. Yeah, team would be a little bit different. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. You know, my team was great.
Yeah. Great. I feel pressure. I think it changes from run to run for me, depending on like how I'm doing in the standings and whatnot. Like
that wasn't really a concern.
Fair.
Yep. But I could see that, like finals or whatever.
Yeah, finals or like sometimes too, like if it's like the pentathlon, like all the events are different, I know, but like sometimes if you have had a few good runs, then you want to
progress on.
Yeah, you don't want to screw up what you've been doing or sometimes if you've been shit in the bed, then you're like, oh my God, like I have to do well on this one. Otherwise, like there's no saving me. So yeah, it can be hard, but I also think that that's like, kind of fun like that. That's you don't get that feeling anywhere else really other than those big events where like you have to like I don't know about you guys, but like when I'm nervous or anxious or anything like that, I feel it very physically in my body. And I find like I can like feel my heart being fast or like I just feel it very intensely. And so sometimes I have to really focus on like my breathing or like my Superman stance or whatever it might be, or singing some Good King Wenceslas or something ridiculously stupid just to kind of like chill me out a little bit. You kind of have those moments. But I also think something you said before is I think if you have a goal of competing internationally or going to some of these big events, maybe it's not even internationally, maybe it's just nationally, and you deal with like ring nerves and things like that, it is important that when you go to trials that you try to practice getting yourself into the mindset where you feel a little bit more pressure-y so that you can work on how sorting out your feelings so that you can calm yourself. Because if the first time that you're trying to do that is when you're actually trying to do the thing, then it's much more challenging. That's why we do pressure nights in our classes. We do all kinds of mental training to program people to learn about themselves and what they need to do. And how does that take you out of it? How does it affect your dog? Like my dog in class versus my dog training on my own versus my dog at apparently the WAO where she was like a psychopath, totally different ball game. And how do I navigate those things? And you only do that basically through
And I find with the style of dog that we have, if they are high, which they are high when they run, if I'm not
on it,
relaxed, then it, like if I'm like
feeds
jittery,
it
just feeds that. Like, so you have to have a way to kind of get a hold of it and control it and harness it, right? I feel like Jamie had a question.
I can see her face.
She's looking at me.
I don't have a question.
What?
She actually
no
does
way. No, she's just trying.
I don't have a question.
Oh, really?
No, I believe her.
I actually believe her too. Like, I gotta feel bad. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. My thing is like, what's like next? Not necessarily even for you, but for everybody. Because I think I find like I was at Worlds in May and obviously going in a few weeks to October. But I even get inspired by like you being there. And like right now we have three students that are over at the IFCS. And like you're just excited
for
them.
It's exciting, yeah.
And like kind of like puts a little...
See, I can feel it. I can feel it.
It puts a little pep in your step to get you kind of going again. So like what's the next thing? Like what's on our radar? Like what's our big thing that we're focusing on now?
Well, just those training things that I'd like to get better at. We're all heading in a couple weeks to a local trial and then Canadian Open.
Yep.
Early September.
Yep.
New Brunswick. Then U.S. Open.
Yep.
For me in October, November, beginning November. Of November.
Yep.
And then I guess tryouts would be the next like big thing. So there's lots of time to make, hopefully,
make changes,
gains and strides between now and then.
Yeah.
But I think it was a bit of a, not a letdown coming home, but certainly the jet lag and then returning to real life. And then this thing that you've been busting your butt for months is now over, good or bad. You know what I mean? And it's good. Like, it's nice to, like, this weekend I'm going to go to a cottage. But at the same respect, it's a bit like, you haven't lost your purpose, but you have to rejig the way you think, right? Because you've been so focused on that thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like you need, like, a bit of recap or regroup
or a list.
Time.
Did you say a list?
I said a list.
I like a list.
But I like to have, like, I like to come home from a big event and, like, try not to think about the next big event. Like, I'm excited and I'm like, oh, here's the things that I want to train, but I need to like chill out for a little bit. And then I'm like, okay, when's my next thing? When do I need to start like ramping things up? Like, my next thing's in October. No, September.
September.
Damn it. So that means I need to start ramping things up now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's go time for that one.
Pardon?
It's go time for that one.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And then also then you throw a puppy into the mix and I think, well, my poor puppy's never going to get trained because I just have to train pee. These people who run like 8 million dogs, I honestly don't know how they do it. I used to do it and I don't even know how I did it. But now I think to myself, there's just so many things to do. There's just so many things.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's all fun. So the consensus is you would do it again.
100%.
And you would do it again?
Yeah.
And you would do it again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that goes without saying.
Isn't that why we do it though?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know we talked about.
No, we do it just for fun.
Yeah. But we like to train though. And that is fun.
We like to train. We like the training part of it.
But I think it's also about taking those things that you've trained and seeing
where they're at. Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're right. We do put a lot of effort. We put a lot of work into what we do. We put a lot of work into keeping our dogs healthy and in shape, and it's really such a big focus in our life is this damn sport of agility. So you do kind of want to see like how you fare, and you want to go out to the world and like see. And it's really interesting, like why I wanted to talk to you about this is like sometimes, you know, we have a perfect, amazing country, and I don't think any of us would really want to live anywhere else. We love it here, but we're just one small country when it comes to this sport. And it's so interesting to be able to go. Like, I remember even long before I went to Europe and I started going to the States to compete, I remember thinking like, oh my God, like our trials have like 30 people and there's like 400 people here. This is nuts. Like, it just opens your eyes. And then obviously when you go to other parts of the world, but also I've been doing agility and competing on world teams for a long time. Like, the first time I went was 2004. And I remember going and
it's 19 years ago.
It was so long ago. And I remember there were some teams.
Isn't that right? 2004?
Yeah. I think my first team was 2004. Yeah.
I remember going in one of the teams, and I don't remember. Okay, math quiz.
Angela's really good at math.
I know. Just, you know. She is actually very good at math.
I'm not.
Anyways, what I was trying to say.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Is that there is a couple of the teams that like would run courses and they only would like run with the dog on the left. Like, there was like all kinds
and blind crosses.
And no blind crosses. Like I remember, like, over the years, I have seen countries change drastically in like their agility skills or what their focus. And it's so cool. Like, there's countries that are kicking ass now that like were terrible like years ago. Including our country. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we had years where like we had some of the top people in the entire world. I think we still kind of do now, but maybe not on the grand scheme. But it's just really interesting to go and see different parts of the world and see the sport that you do, because you just learn so much by surrounding yourself with things that are different than you see on a regular basis. And that's like the best way to grow, is to put yourself in a situation where you're surrounded by people who are better than you or different than you, so that you can continually try to, you know, perfect your craft or learn more. Because if you just stick around here doing the same old thing, you're just going to keep doing the same old thing, right?
Well, and I think too, in other places in the world, it really is considered a sport. It's not considered a pastime or a hobby, yeah. which for some around here, which is great, like there's nothing wrong with that, but it really is a sport and there's a lot put into it. There's a lot of time, money, and effort from trainers and organizations and all those kinds of things in different parts of the world. That's a little bit different than it necessarily is over here. Good or bad, doesn't really matter. It's just really cool to see that in the potential of the sport.
Yeah. Right?
That's really, really neat.
Perfect. So perfect.
I have one last question.
Is it the last question?
Well, I don't know if it's the last question, but I have one last question. Because I know it's something that's like the couple of things that I remember.
In your chest?
Well, like in here, inside.
Down, deep down. He remembers things in his chest.
Okay.
Like, not in his mind.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
Like opening ceremonies.
Yes.
Jersey on, jacket on, all the Canada stuff on. You looked great, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah, I was representing.
How did it feel when they announced Canada and you walk in?
It was so fun.
It's so cool. That's my favorite part.
And I think like you hear how big it is, but it's really big. Yeah. Like it's really big. Like the large dogs, I think there was like 209 in large. Mm-hmm. And we had like 140 something in intermediate, and we were the smallest group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool.
But just that walking that moment, in and yes, the music, in my like chest. The, like right there, you're like, wow, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
right?
It's really cool.
You can't really describe that to anybody. You just have to experience that.
And I don't think you can appreciate the competition. Like, I mean, you can watch it on the live stream, but like being there is just like different. Like for finals. For several of the finals, I stood right at ringside in the pouring rain.
Yeah.
And, it's just so neat. Like, and like the people stand like three people deep in the pouring rain to watch finals. Like, and they cheer.
And I was going to say, and like, cheer and encourage. Really like, and
it's everybody really is so invested. Mm-hmm. And I think too, when you're in an event like that, like everybody knows how hard everybody else has worked to be there.
Get there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a different caliber and it's like, it's what you work months and months and months, years for.
Years, yeah.
And it's a big deal. Mm-hmm.
There was a girl in the intermediate finals. Was it intermediate finals? Yes, it was intermediate finals. And she had a smoking run. And then on the third last obstacle, she pushed her dog out to an off course.
Oh, no.
And it was smoking. And she was, like, giving her, and the dog was giving her. It was, like, so good. And she pushed her dog out, obviously went off course, and then finished the course. It was, like,
oh, heartbreaker.
Two straight jumps out. And the rest of the technical part, she was, like, beautiful on. And, I saw her afterwards and I just spoke to her because I was like, I just wanted to let you know, like, your run was so gorgeous. And she's like, my heart is still breaking a little bit. And I'm like, I'm sure it is. But like, it was like, it gave me goosebumps. Like, it was so good.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool to see.
Yeah. It's so cool. I think, you know, what's neat about the sport is that there's like so many directions that you can go, and there's so many, goals that you can have in it, like, you know, whether you're just trying to get titles with your dog, or you never ever want to compete, you only just want to like play with your dog and do something that's fun with, like, for exercise. All of it is awesome, and I think it's just always good to try to be the best that you can be at whatever level that you're trying to be at. But I think that there's something that's pretty darn cool about
a world event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About this type of event. And whether it's your cup of tea or whether it's not, I know some people like don't give two shits about, you know, international agility, and they just want to like do their thing. And that's totally cool. But I think, I think for us being there, it just really inspires you, and it pushes you to like just be better and better and better. And every puppy you get and every dog you get, you just,
that's
like
the goal.
Yeah. It's something that you work so hard towards. And I know I was personally just like over the moon excited that you got to go, because you work your ass off so much for things. And I really enjoyed like talking to you and like hearing your perspective. I stayed up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning to watch you on live stream. Yep. And it was just so fun. I remember doing the same for all of you guys. But you get very emotionally invested. And I think because I've been there myself and I know that feeling and like just how amazing it is, like I want other people to feel it too, because then it kind of burns your, you know, gets your fire going a little bit. So
yeah, it was fantastic.
Pretty awesome. And I'm sure there's many more trips. Hopefully there's one day that we can all go together.
I can't imagine. All of us on the same. Oh my God, that would be insane.
That would be insane. I don't think it should be allowed.
Actually. I don't think it should be allowed either.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, we're stoked for you, Ange. And like I said, I think that there's many more trips to come, but what a great experience you've had.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, stay tuned for the next podcast and get your butt out to the arena or the field or your backyard or whatever it might be and get to training.
Happy training, everybody.
Good job, Steve. Thanks for not letting me down. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.